We're talking with Lara Pullen in Canberra. Lara is a member of the Canberra Committee of the FMLN, and she's been passing on the news to us about some of the rather disturbing events that have been occurring in El Salvador recently. Are you there, Lara?
Yes. Good morning, Warwick.
Now, I understand that a person who we both respected very highly and is very prominent in the FMLN, the radio operator, Mariposa, who was active with the Radio Venceremos. She was quite a legend in the time of the Civil War when they ran the clandestine radio station Venceremos in the hills in the guerrilla war in El Salvador. Mariposa is still alive and well, but we had some distressing news the other day, I understand.
Yes, we've had some concerns for some time with death threats being made against, particularly against Mariposa. And the history of this woman, as you pointed out, is quite remarkable. During the entire Civil War, she was the most well-known radio announcer for the clandestine radio Venceremos, which played an important or critical role, as I'm sure you've explained previously. Your listeners, a very important role in keeping the population informed and alive in many cases in terms of different military incursions in the country. So she's certainly a very well-known and very well-loved figure, but for some time now there have been very public death threats against her and her family. And given that her brother, Paco Cutume was one of the very first political prisoners during the Civil War and one of the more public executions early on in the Civil War as well. You can imagine the sort of fear that those threats is capable of generating. They're very real to that family. And most distressingly, this Sunday past, just 1 week ago, the parents of this family, Juana and Paco, were brutally, very brutally and nastily assassinated and tortured in their home in a small hamlet just outside of San Salvador.
Mm. Yeah, and it was quite obviously, well, it was quite apparent that this was a politically motivated assassination. Hello, Mara?
Hello?
Yes, Lara,
Hello.
Yeah.
Sorry, I think we had
a bit of a glitch there, yeah. It was fairly apparent then that this was a political assassination.
It would seem very clearly so. The human rights defender in the country and a number of prominent political spokespeople have spoken out. Some of the manners of both the torture and the way in which the bodies were left, the use of lime spread around the premises, and the absolute fear, given that this was carried out in broad daylight and so on, the fear of the population around who very much loved and respected this family, but who were saying they heard and saw nothing despite it being in broad daylight at a time when the couple would normally have been operating their small shop in the area. Also, some days before they were murdered, a box of bones was actually delivered to the household with a message that the daughters of the family's bones would be returned to the parents in that manner sometime shortly, and one wonders whether or not they were looking, in fact, for the daughters and grandchildren at the time.
Charming characters. And I understand the situation in El Salvador, it's quite volatile at the moment. There has been a lot of political activity in the last week or so.
Yes, indeed. In 2 years now of the far-right wing alliance that is managing to hold the federal government's power there, and that federal government, unfortunately, that alliance is in fact still the leadership of the military dictatorship of the past, of the Civil War, of the right-wing death squads, and that's one of the great concerns is that there may in fact be, given the impunity that applied to these people, and some of whom are seated in the national parliament still, that this may be a tactic they're looking at in terms of trying to suppress. There's a lot of popular movement and organisation around everything from forms of work and cooperatives, growers, agricultural and growers cooperatives, ways of organising in defence of the environment there, that also allows them to make a sustainable living for people. I mean, there's some very creative solutions being applied from the ground up, and the party, the FMLN, governs at the municipal and local levels and works with the people, but at that federal level we have this repressive regime still, although currently in a democratic guise and elected guise. That was never brought to justice or brought to account, and that those government officials that were never brought to account, military officials that were never brought to account, are in some way behind a resurgence in severe political repression. Hello, you still there, Warwick?
Yeah, still here. You did say something.
What the concern is now is that as these popular movements are becoming more vocal and more visible, that this repression is increasing. During the days of grieving for the family, for the Manzanares family, some secondary school students organised a peaceful protest against the end of federal government subsidies to transport and public transport. They were calling for half-price public transport for students and the elderly and disabled or low-income people. And there was a peaceful march organised by secondary, very young students, secondary students collectives, who met up with university students at a prearranged point near the university and one of the secondary colleges. They met up for a press conference on Wednesday, but were met with police who immediately interfered and detained two students, setting off a small scuffle between police and protesters, during which it was obvious a sharpshooter from further afield fired into that melee and immediately killed two police officers and three of the secondary students. And in the ensuing chaos, it was then a guise for not quite a state of emergency, but certainly a very severe reaction and very heavy police presence on the campus, particularly where they are normally prohibited. So police are normally not able to enter the university campus. That was one of the, even during the Civil War, although it was violated by the military during the Civil War, but certainly post the Civil War, as part of the peace agreements, it was again negotiated that the university would be free of military and police presence, and they're still actually occupying the campus as we speak, so that's a great concern.
Yeah, it sounds like a rather upsetting return to the bad old days of the 70s and 80s. And I understand you've been in touch with people in El Salvador recently. Is there any updates on the latest? Hello, Lara?
Hello, Warwick. I think we might be losing our connection.
Yeah. I was just wondering, have you been in contact with anyone in El Salvador recently?
Yes, we're speaking actually, certainly thanks to the internet and new technology, we're able to be in contact several times a day at the moment to get updates on what's happening over there. As part of the melee that I was talking about at the university, what has happened, the government shut down sort of free press communications and has only been putting out one official line which hasn't referred to casualties on the student side, for example. That's been countered successfully now, but through quite an intense campaign from the ground up. Initial reports were only talking about the two police agents and who were tragically killed. Certainly shouldn't have happened, but from as an observer it would certainly appear, and I think most people in the country, including the Human Rights Defender, are thinking that was the work very reminiscent of the old civil wars and the work of an agent provocateur who introduced this heavy artillery fire into the situation, causing enormous repression, as you can imagine, helicopters and heavy artillery brought in against a small student protest, many of whom were very young, under 14, 15 years of age.
They also
used this opportunity to raid trade union premises, and some of them had been having a an organising meeting at the time, preparing their case against the Saka government, who are impeding the right to organise as trade unions in El Salvador, who are increasingly repressive and limiting that freedom to organise. And so they had, in fact, only the day before the raids on their offices, the day before the student protest, they had actually been at the Legislative Assembly informing the government that they would be required to answer before an Intercontinental Commission of Human Rights as part of preparation to go to the International Labour Organization against the government. And it's seen as very much part of generalized repression against people's freedom to organize and express their political desires in any democratic form.
And sorry, Lara.
That sort of violence. I mean, we have a lot of impediments at the moment over here, but
you're dropping out there.
Sort of violence that they're talked about in the press in El Salvador as being as bad as the days of the Civil War.
And how is Mariposa bearing up to this terrible event that happened to her?
Yes, well, it was quite a shock. As you know, I forwarded you the email. She sent us an email when they found her, when she found her parents' body, absolutely heartbroken message to say what had happened, and very touchingly and hopefully, I guess, pointing out that we are her family now, that this broader international community of solidarity is all she's got left from that point of view. You know, her brother was brutally murdered so long ago, and now both the parents in this manner, and it's very hard to imagine the anguish that's caused her. But just this morning we received another very beautiful letter and a photo of herself with her children, and a beautiful letter saying that that the immediate response from all around the world and the messages that have been sent through to the family have been enormously uplifting and are carrying them through at the moment. So even to those in Australia who've sent those messages through and who knew of Mariposa and her work during those days, she was actually inaugurating a revolutionary artist workspace at the time of the killings, and she's very determined to continue in her work. She feels that the best answer is the best thing that she can do to keep her parents and her brother's memory alive is to continue harder than ever in her work for the people and for democracy, and that's the best rebut she can give at all to these awful crimes.
Yeah, so we'll certainly be forwarding our condolences and our support, all of us here at TuneIn FM. Thanks for speaking with us, Lara. And
thank you. I will convey that message and send you some details for your website and the very beautiful photo she sent us this morning. It was very lovely to see a photo of her nurturing, actually breastfeeding her child, and reminiscent of a poster I'm sure you'll recall, Warwick, from the Nicaraguan days.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Lara.
Thanks, Warwick.